I would hit the roof. Like, I would absolutely blow into
orbit.
But I
would never, I would like to think most normal people would never choose to do that.
No.
I the only thing that keeps coming to mind is that that song from Disturbed.
Don't.
That lady's, that woman singing.
No.
Oh shit. And go
Aaron loves that TikTok.
Are you ready? Or he goes, can you feel it?
Yeah.
And then she says it and she goes, wah.
She does it like so slow.
Oh, but it's so good.
It's like so.
It's like she's coughing.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she's singing.
And that's the energy we should be bringing to this right now. And not in the bad singing energy, but in the, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are ready.
We are especially in our validated haters era
today. Oh my goodness.
Hi, welcome to the We Should Unpack This. I'm Mickey.
And I'm Aaron.
Thank you.
And we're actually going to probably be unpacking it right away today.
Yeah.
If there was a lot of vamping in the last one, don't expect any vamping in this
one. No vamping.
Because we finished.
None whatsoever.
We finished Plathville last night at like midnight.
Yeah.
And I don't think we were able to go to bed for like an hour and a half because our blood was.
We were just
boiling.
We were yapping.
We love yapping. Who doesn't love a good yap?
We're good at yapping.
I think it's so crazy though because you know who doesn't love a good yap?
The whole Plath family.
Shitty fucking men who are married to women who they absolutely do not deserve.
Yeah.
Do not deserve.
Yeah.
And you know what the greatest part about this whole thing for us has been?
Yeah.
Is it very much mirrors what our life could have looked like.
Yeah.
The similarities, the parallels are intangible.
They're striking.
I think that's the wrong word. But intangible? Tangible. Are tangible?
Tangible meaning you can like grasp.
They're tangible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going to do my best to keep it laser focused.
Okay.
But
don't expect that.
Don't expect
that. Don't set that expectation from the outset because we're terrible at that.
I think there was about a good 5 minutes where I think I malfunctioned or something.
Yeah.
And my brain just wouldn't stop repeating. Did he actually say that? Did he actually say that? Did he just say that?
Okay. So let's rewind a little.
Let's
start from the beginning. The last time that we talked to you about Plathville.
Last week.
Which was last week. In fact, we had finished season 3 but not started season 4.
We had
a few more episodes
of season 4
left in season 4 and we had not started season 5.
Yes.
And we, in our effort to not be,
we're trying our best.
Like the thing, we try really hard to not be like bitch eating crackers kind of like commentary people,
because it's not good for anybody.
And especially keeping in mind that there is a level of like developmental catching up that people who are deconstructing have to do when they've been like suppressed and like sheltered, like the Plath kids
like
were.
So much of this is not their fault. Yes.
No, yeah, exactly. And so I think, you know, in trying to exercise some level of like, I don't know, kindness for the fact that like these people are going to struggle with things that might seem more intuitive to us because they've had, you know, shit all for resources and terrible fucking examples, you know? So like,
I don't think I can do that. I'm putting it away. This Nito is dead.
I love you so much. It's just, it's
done. It's
the
done.
Squickling, squelching for me.
I'm sorry.
Also, thank you to one of our patrons, our Discord members.
I love Aaron's wacky, crazy, wavy inflatable putty.
I think it's called Crazy Aaron's Thinking Putty or something. Actually, I'll link it in the description if you want one of your own. But Aaron got the one that's like the hothead one.
I love it.
It gets firmer the more you squeeze
it. But it doesn't leave residue and it doesn't have their sparkles in it. And you might think, I'm going to get sparkles on my hand. But they all stay self-contained. The Nito is great, but the Nito.
We've popped so many Nitos. And now they have air in them. They're yucky looking.
And you can't get rid of them.
Luckily, I have purse.
I have Nito.
No, they're just kind of challenging from a texture perspective after you've introduced air.
I didn't introduce the air, to be clear. Well, maybe I might have.
The seal's broken because you squeeze things to death. You got good grippers.
I got good grippers.
You know, so you squeeze this is a house of grippers balls to death. But yeah, the putty is nice because you can't.
Oh,
pop
I can
it.
Squeeze that thing as hard as I want, and it doesn't. Yeah. It just says. So if you found
yourself popping needles, maybe try that. Regardless, I think in trying to be kind, we're
so hard.
Way too nice.
We
to
said
the
so
black
nice things
family.
About Mariah.
Because, well, and the thing too is that like it. You and I both had our own inklings. Like we talked about this separately because we hadn't even talked to each other about this yet. Yeah. About like our own kind of like side
eye. We were
really
just taking it as it was. We were happy to just bring
but
off.
We both like internally had kind of our own side eye at like a lot of the people who ended up being really terrible. But then like, you know, we're trying to be nice about it. And now after having watched, first of all, the finale for season 4, which is so fucking, we're going to get into it.
Cuckoo bananas.
But, and then we watched season 5. We finished season 5. I truly cannot fathom
Gaston.
The level of like disrespect, the level of delusion that you have to be to stand firmly on some of the stances that the people in the Plath family took. Like, it's astounding how delusional they are.
But also the wild part to me, and I can't even tell if this is editing on purpose or not,
yeah,
but like the hypocriticalness and the self-righteous indignation
yes!
of each
yes.
one of those motherfuckers sends me through the roof.
The sanctimonious,
holier than thou.
Like, pious little pissy attitude that a lot of the people in that family have while simultaneously being the biggest fucking hypocrites and also the biggest fucking cowards. That's the thing that
irritates
me the most.
Oh my God, I wrote that down today. I literally was like, what gets under my skin so much?
It irritates me so much.
They are cowards.
Because here's the thing.
I wrote that on my phone today.
You did?
Yeah, I literally wrote down, I was like, because I was trying to think before we filmed the episode, I was like, what makes me so mad? And I'm like, they're all fucking cowards.
Yes. The thing is that being afraid of conflict resolution doesn't make you a coward, right?
No. Hello, hi.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, I'm not, but.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's why we are where we are.
Yes, but like being afraid of conflict resolution is a morally neutral and I would say somewhat human thing.
Yeah.
It's very normal, especially for people who didn't have a healthy conflict resolution modeled growing up to struggle with that. But people who are afraid of conflict and are able to express that in some form or fashion, right? Not all of us are going to have the skills to like verbalize perfectly.
Especially after being homeschooled by Kim.
Like, no, sure, yeah. Not all of us are going to have the skills to do that. But being a person who is afraid of conflict so much so that you're avoidant while also looking down your nose at other people and saying, this is such an easy thing to resolve. You're just being, you know, dramatic. And if you would just get over it, or if you would just like, you know, the party line of like most of the Plath siblings is that if Olivia would just get over it and talk to Kim and Barry, that like we could put this all behind us. But like, these are the same people who then when like, you know, Mariah and Micah kicked up beef with Ethan, are so terrified of conflict that they refuse to engage, but then also level judgment and shame and vitriol at someone like Olivia for setting boundaries about like, no, I don't want to engage with somebody like Kim because she betrayed me and hurt me and wounded me. And it's like a trauma button for me. Like, that's so fucking irritating. It's just something that I can't respect. The level
God,
of like rules for thee, but not for me is like
everywhere.
Genuine. It's a thing in like in the Fundy niche that like endlessly pushes my fucking buttons.
If you guys have been craving a Bethany Beal video or a girl
content.
To find, then like
this
buckle
is
in.
The one.
This is going to be a lore episode too.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about our almost divorce. We're going to be talking about our upbringing and growing up.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably talk about the sandwich story. The egg sandwich.
The sandwich story.
I don't know if we talked about the egg sandwich story on the pod before.
No.
If you've been in our Discord, hi.
You probably know about the sandwich story.
Then you're probably somewhat familiar with the sandwich story if you've come and hung out with us.
Yeah.
But I think this is the most, as we were watching season 5, because we were just pounding episodes.
We were
flying. It's just like our blood pressure continued. Like, also too, I have never felt so justified in talking about so many of these things too, because normally I'm like, I don't really have opinions, or like, what's my opinion, like, you know, as a dude, like, who gives a fuck?
Sure,
but like, here I have a lot of skin in this game.
You do.
Because I very much, like, I grew up in a very Republican, apolitical family, and like,
and also a very conflict avoidant family.
Super conflict avoidant. Like, I like us like arguing or us resolving conflicts was either me just rolling over and saying, sure, whatever, have it however you want it, not providing anything. And also, this was us as 21, 22, 23 year olds.
Yes.
Freshly married.
Like literal children.
And then like growing and moving through that. But also too, like you going to college and you becoming more progressive and more liberal and learning more and like fleshing out yourself in a way that is like on the precipice and the steps to creating the person you want to be and fleshing yourself out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was very much like in my delayed not like Arrested like, Development per se, but like yeah, I was very like,
yeah, catching
like
up,
moderate, yeah. Very like opposed to conflict, just like
yes.
keep things the way they were, traditional, yes. like
very
just
much
do...
like not wanting to rock the boat kind yes, of energy. Yes. Because also that's like what you were pressured to
making
do
my parents
in
happy.
Childhood. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
pleasing my
that,
parents.
Like, anytime you had emotions, that was like a burden
yeah.
to the other people, mostly mm-hmm, your parents. Mm-hmm. And so you were like, you know, discouraged from doing that. And so as adults trying to resolve conflicts, we would either like not talk about something,
oh,
even
yeah.
though I would be like, why won't you talk
like,
to me?
We need to talk about this.
Or it would be a situation. I think this was like the primary beef that we had yeah. is that a lot of the time I would feel like I was more on your side than you were.
Fair.
Where like,
oh yeah. Cause you were playing, you were, that's something.
Yeah.
We
like we would
lot.
Have a conflict and you know, my feelings would be heard about like X, Y, or Z or yeah. whatever. And then I would say like, you know, this is how I feel about it. And I'm upset about it.
Yeah.
And you would be like, okay, you're right. I suck. I'm terrible. And I was like, no,
I
no, I don't agree with that. Like, stop that.
Yeah.
Like, please don't say those things about yourself. Like, I don't think you're terrible. I think that this thing like hurt my feelings and I didn't like it. And it was like a weird thing. It felt like I was arguing with myself. It was almost like a Three Stooges skit in a way yeah. where I felt like I would talk.
You were
to
having
myself.
To play like the middle person, my yeah. side and your side.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just fucking arguing against yeah. myself. Why am I doing this? Why am I having to do
it,
this?
Yeah. It kind of got to the
it
point where I was
mad.
Just like, okay.
Yeah. Like why? Like, okay. Like,
yeah. I am exhausted by this and like, don't want to have this conversation because I know where it's going to lead. And like, yeah. I'm the one who's going to have it. Mostly,
yeah. So. And like, I'm just along for the ride. Like,
yeah.
Just wait till you tucker yourself out.
No. Yeah. Honestly, which was like really obviously unhealthy.
Yeah.
And like,
but also as like 20 somethings, like, but mm-hmm. also too, you know what we did? We went to fucking therapy.
Yes. We worked on it.
And I'm not, and again, too, because we were checking out, now that we're done with the show, we were checking out Olivia's
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was interesting to see her, like, therapy wasn't, like, it wasn't like she went to therapy and suddenly became, like, a liberal.
A leftist, yeah.
Like, that's not how therapy works.
No, yeah, she posted something on her story saying that, like, that's not actually why she deconstructed at
yeah.
all.
I actually thought it was really touching, because I think she said something like traveling
yeah.
And seeing other people living in the way
yeah.
that her family had told
like
her
demonized.
Were godless heathens.
Yes.
Yeah. And like having fun and enjoying themselves and being happy.
Yeah.
And she talked about very much too the like love thy neighbor kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And like actually yeah. doing that
mm-hmm.
and not being religious, like weird.
Yes.
All
yeah.
fucking talk.
That like the people who her family and like, you know, the Platts even had demonized as
yeah.
being, you know, immoral and bad people were actually the ones who were most effective at loving their neighbor
yeah.
and being genuinely kind and respectful to like their fellow human being.
And I feel like
and how like that so obviously does not line up with religious doctrine.
Yes.
And that was like kind of the, you know, like tumbling of the house of cards for her, which I feel like is like a pretty universally shared experience,
yeah.
I would say.
I think back to that time too when you were attending that, like, oh, it was so close to Fundy.
Ooh.
It was so it was
that
like
real close.
It was like one dial switch
yeah.
away from Fundy.
Yeah.
And I remember them being just like the cattiest, bitchiest,
mean.
Like insufferable people.
Yes.
And
judgmental.
I remember being like, I don't want to be a part of them, but I felt bad because
yeah.
they were your friends and stuff at the time. And like, I'm like, am I
yeah.
a bad person? And
mm-hmm.
then finding
yeah.
out they were, you know, this continues to happen to us where people try to kind of try and twist this
pick at our
relationship
we have, yeah.
which is an it's not an understandable thing, but like, you know,
I
like fine. Also, your hair looks so good.
Thank
it looks
you.
So good.
I got it redone.
I keep getting distracted
today.
And just like being like, what was I talking about again?
Oh, that's really sweet.
But yeah, no, I just think about that time and like how quickly we could have like gone down a completely separate path.
Yes. Yeah.
And like we chose not to. And I just think it's this thing where like for the first couple of seasons,
mm-hmm.
we were almost okay to like justify like, you know, they're 21 years old. They've
yeah.
only lived away from home for a year.
Yeah.
But like after we've moved to Minnesota and like done traveled around the world, like we spent 3 weeks in Italy. Talk about fucking privilege.
Yeah.
Like, hello, sign me up.
Literally.
Like,
oh my God. I know. Right.
Also, I just, okay.
Hold so on. Yeah. Wait, don't derail.
I'm not.
Spent 3 weeks in Italy and then what?
And then, to come back and just.
Yes.
Still be like these, like, or especially for Ethan, actually, no, for Ethan to be such a
yeah.
close-minded individual.
I do think it's clear by this point also that if you're not familiar with the Plath family,
mm-hmm.
like the show, Welcome to Plathville, a lot of this will feel confusing to you. And like, we're going to do our best to, you know, offer some explanation,
yeah.
but like, also it is one of those things that like, if you've never seen the show, this might not
yeah.
be very enjoyable
There's
for
like
you.
12 hours of
we're operating
where...
with the understanding that you're like familiar to some
yeah.
degree. So
and I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think so too.
Also at this rate too, we should be, I would expect us to be watching, the next season
yeah.
on Friday streams.
Let's
is the plan.
Hope so. Yeah.
I'd
they haven't
to.
Announced when season 6 is coming
yeah.
out, but I know that. Olivia at least has talked about like filming of season 6, so
yeah.
it seems like it is happening, We just don't know.
Also, if you have any Plath family lore, drop it in the comments. Yes. Let's be filled in for everything coming up.
So I think we should talk about like chronologically through the season.
Okay, I think that makes sense. So I think we should probably talk about the riverboat trip then.
Yeah, let's talk about the riverboat or the river trip thing.
So Olivia and her boundaries.
Yes.
I mean, also that's the part too that crazy. Also, just while we're at the top, like the scapegoating of Olivia.
I know. It's so palpable. Irritating. Like,
it's so crazy
to me.
Well,
it's so obvious the thing.
They're not sneaky people.
No.
At all.
No. We're going to talk on the main channel like video, by the way. This is just us as people having our own messy, hateful fun, ass opinions. I'm going to talk in more detail about family systems and boundaries and communications and especially about like Ethan and Olivia specifically, of the breakdown there between their communication and their values and beliefs and the whole thing, like deconstruction and all that. So that's going to be like a whole video separately. That's like more clinical information, but like just for today's purposes, the way that the family so obviously like scapegoats Olivia as a means of trying to desperately hold together their very shaky bond with one another is like so off-putting, because like the river trip, I think, is like the perfect example of this.
So much so.
Where they use Olivia as a scapegoat and like, you know, they triangulate her and all of these disagreements so that they end up having more in common with one another, even though they do have grievances with each other. They have more in common with each other than they do with Olivia, at least. And so that serves as like this kind of temporary glue to like, you know, we don't have to talk about like all of the problems. Yes. And like, you know, for example, the fact that Kim and Barry disowned one of their kids for wearing makeup and dressing in short shorts, you know, we don't need to talk about that because, you know, Mariah just wanted the approval and validation of her parents. And the way that she got it was by throwing Olivia under the bus. Yeah. And like, it's just it's just really disingenuous and like cliche and annoying.
It's so
it's just gross.
Yeah.
I struggle a lot with like the Mariah Micah thing where like those they were two? Both really, really rude to Olivia.
Yeah. But also Olivia was such a friend of them.
Yes.
She was like fucking taking pictures from Micah.
Yeah.
She did all the music shit for Olivia or for Mariah.
Yeah.
And then because they
but also like took them in.
Yes.
She became their family when Kim and Barry turned their backs on their own children.
Also too, for Olivia, I can't imagine being fucking ostracized by your own family, joining another family and then being ostracized again.
Yes. And being betrayed.
Because you don't want to live in the same podunk mindset that these motherfuckers have in the woods.
But then to have people tell you, even though this situation is probably pushing all of the trauma buttons
constantly
that like, you know, you have from being rejected by your own family.
Yes.
And also that like you thought you found safety and security in Kim because she like promised you this like, you know, safety and like newfound family and all of this, only to find out that she was willing to betray you because you wouldn't let her have the password to your son's or to her son's bank account. And for to like lose a family and a mother figure all over again. And then for Micah and Mariah to be like, it's not that big of a deal. Why can't you just get over it?
But also
like,
too.
Hello?
Yes. But also too, we spend this. And also like, unfortunately, their son that passed away.
Joshua,
yes, but they use these moments to like, especially right at the beginning of their divorce, we're like, we're just trying to be a happy family still. We're a happy family still. And Olivia's the one who's ruining our family. Like, guys, your parents are getting divorced. Who gives a fuck if everyone's having a good time right now?
Literally.
You guys realistically shouldn't be having, like, that's a totally normal thing
to have freaking the big fuck feelings out about. Yes. Yes, exactly.
And they're like, but Olivia is getting in the way.
And I do want to be clear too. Yeah. I know that there's probably going to be like Plath apologists in the comments to some degree.
But goodbye.
My frustration with the Plath family, I think, is outweighed by any frustration that I have with Olivia. That doesn't mean we don't have grievances with the way that Olivia handled some things, right? Like, I talked about this actually in a video recently. I don't know when it's going up, but that Olivia did very much weaponize the concept of boundaries, I think accidentally, just because she didn't know any better.
But also, I think when you go so far the other way, in my opinion, or my impression is like, when you haven't been able to set your boundaries, and so you set them so far, you do the stonewall thing.
So intense
whereas
about
instead
it.
Of using it as like a fence, you know, like a picket fence or something.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think like both of those things are true, that like she kind of like flopped all the way to the other end of that spectrum, and then also kind of misunderstood or misinterpreted the concept of boundaries to be a way that we can control others rather than like controlling our behavior.
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't have issues with her, right? Like, I'm happy to talk about that, but I do think like in contrast with the way that the Plath family,
especially by the end of the fifth season,
that is like so egregious. Like, it's not even in the same realm.
Planet.
Because also I think it's important to note that like there throughout the show, there's like a pretty clear documentation of how like Olivia is aware that the things she previously understood or said or whatever, mm-hmm. like required growth on her half, yes. right? Like she owns up to the fact that she's done things imperfectly and is like continuing, it seems, to strive towards like working on herself rather than like finger pointing and blaming other people, you know? Like not once during the show did we see her issue some kind of like ultimatum about like, if Kim and Barry don't go to therapy, then I'm withholding your son from you. Or like, I'm refusing to like X, Y, or Z until Kim and Barry show up and have a mediation with me. You know, like she didn't do that at all.
And she was also very much happy to let the other kids like Micah and Mariah go and see their family still.
Yeah. And from like, the outside, at least, it didn't appear as though she was trying to weaponize her like lack of interest in communicating with Kim and Barry after like the boundaries issue, and more so was just like removing herself from a situation that was like not fucking cool, you know? Because also like the divorce thing, can we talk about Kim and Barry's divorce and the way that Kim and Barry ghosted their own kids?
Because this is the thing that I brought up too, is I can't imagine as a caregiver, as a parent, to like so suddenly and so quickly be just okay with like ditching your kids. Because there's that one moment, I think it's, what's the youngest one? Cassia?
Cassia is the middle one. So Amber, Cassia, Mercy are the ones that are at home still. Mercy's the youngest.
And they're like, oh, have you been seeing your mom very much lately? I'm like, no.
Yeah, they're like, is your mom here very often? And they're like, no.
Like, you cannot tell me Lydia wasn't taking care of those kids.
She was.
That whole time.
She absolutely was.
Kim's over here stooping fucking Ken.
Whoever that fucking guy is. Also the fact that Kim was arrested for a DUI between seasons four and season five, and they didn't address it, is so shady.
Also them like, oh, that's weird, you just suddenly decided to sell your dance studio, like that's so random, like why was that,
you decided to sell your house and your dance studio and all this stuff, like huh, that's weird, that's really odd, Kim, what's that about?
Also too, like again too, it's like shit like that where that stuff happens and then they still like, you guys have no room to talk at Olivia or anyone else or to hold any judgment,
because that's the thing, right, is that like people are people and they make mistakes and some people get DUIs and I'm not here to like tell people who've gotten a DUI that you're like a terrible, irredeemable human, right? Like that's not how that works. People make mistakes and that's fine, right?
Yeah.
Don't do that, don't obviously.
We're not saying go get DUIs.
I'm not being a DUI apologist. I'm just saying that like people are redeemable.
It doesn't
And if you're going to be a person who puts your ass in the street, quite literally, but then tells other people like because you, for example, aren't a Republican, then, like, you're a terrible human being.
I cannot believe we were even, you guys have no room to talk.
Yes.
Like, that is the least of y'all's fucking worry.
That's literally cuckoo bananas behavior.
I love how I said it into the last one. I knew fucking Ethan was a fucking Trump supporter like that. I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything, and I was so nice and so kind.
I really wanted to believe.
And gave the benefit of the doubt. And I was like, you know, it's really not their fault. It's not their fault. But, like, Ethan especially, so many times over. And also the way he interacted with Olivia at the family gatherings and stuff
is
so beyond
fucked up.
Like, and they didn't even touch on that. Like, she was fine with that. Like,
I know. At the river trip where, you know, Olivia left early with Nathan to be there, like, you know, of her own accord and whatever, but is like sitting down by where the like actual river is because her understanding was that people were going to come down and like get in the water.
Yeah.
And that clearly turns out to not be the case, which, like, whatever, right? But then Ethan is just like,
what are you going to do about
with it? With his family, like, completely yucking ignoring her. I would lose my mind. Like, I can't imagine having a partner who's so apathetic towards you. I think that's the thing that's, like, really...
He's so lucky.
Well, the thing that's, like, really, like, so off-putting about the whole thing is that, like, anger and resentment or like frustration, I can like understand, right?
Fair.
People have big emotions in relationships and especially marriage and long-term partnership or cohabitating. All of that like pulls up big feelings for people. So I can like humanize and like understand someone saying or doing something in the moment out of anger that they don't mean.
Yeah.
But to be completely uncaring and uninvolved with your partner's emotions, to just completely ghost your whole ass partner,
yeah,
as a human being is so cold and cruel.
Because also that's the other thing we talked about too, is like when he would go on his trips to Cairo for fucking weeks.
For fuck
and just
all.
And yes. Literally, you can't tell me he wasn't leaving those cars there on purpose so that he had an excuse
it
to
really
go back
felt like
to
it.
Go hang out with his family.
Yeah.
But also too, like you would have thought that Ethan was bacheloring it up.
Yes.
And living like the single dude life.
Yes.
And fucking yucking it up and yeah. having a blast. Like just having the best fucking time
yeah.
before they got married with the yeah. way he acted and treated. Like you would think he had no regard.
Yeah.
Or like, because we talk about this on the dating shows, is yeah. that like, okay, suddenly being married and being like, oh, I need to let yeah. this person know, like, hey, I got That's, to the bar or I'm yeah. at this place
it's
or whatever.
It's a jarring transition for some people.
Sure. Fair understandable enough. Can see that. But like, no excuse. Also, no. you grew up as the oldest child. You can't tell me you were,
yeah.
actually, no, Ethan probably wasn't because he was too busy being
yeah,
fucking working on cars and ignoring everything that exists.
Yeah, very
outside.
Like, we love our sons and raise our daughters.
I also, too, just can't respect and cannot understand the commitment to like, and I know he talks about compartmentalizing
sure.
their relationship and stuff, though, but like, we're about to get a fucking divorce and you're yeah. out here working on cars. Like,
yeah.
hey, Chuck, how's it going? I can't
Literally.
Remember his name,
yeah,
but
whatever. Well, and then in California, right before oh. he leaves, they have this heart-wrenching fucking conversation
yes.
about how they are fundamentally at odds and how apparently Ethan has thrown a gauntlet down in private
yeah.
about how Olivia is not allowed to raise his children if they have his
but
children.
But he loves her so
if
much.
If they have kids together because of her terrible beliefs, which I'm
yeah.
assuming are probably some flavor of like queer people are people
yeah.
or like, you know, I don't know, people who are not white men
oh my
aren't
God.
Terrible.
The thing he said about pride and country.
I
fucking that,
so,
that was
so
it.
Gross.
That sealed it for me.
So gross. But that he's like apparently thrown this gauntlet down in private, right? And oops, as it turns out, he also forgot to tell her that he was going to whole ass California
literally.
From Minnesota to see his brother and his family and whatever.
Yeah.
Which is already a point of contention. And so they have this moment where they're like, it's clear, like the writing on the wall is very obvious. Like
yeah.
we might be getting a divorce after this moment because this is like really a low point in our relationship. And then he goes to California and is like, la, 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 la,
love
la.
Surfing on the waves. Surfer dudes.
Hello?
Fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
That's like the same, him and Barry, same fucking person.
Yes.
Same person.
The level of apathy that he has towards somebody that he supposedly loves is so off-putting. Like, again, because I can understand people having big emotions and
yeah.
like reacting in ways that just don't like make sense for them or that aren't like, you know, like healthy or ideal mm-hmm. or whatever. But the fact that he seems genuinely unbothered by his partner being wounded, not just generally, but by him specifically,
yeah.
is something that I don't relate to.
Also, too, you just cannot tell me, too, because we went through the same thing where I was very much, I would have said I like sided more like Republican. Granted, this is well
in
before
the,
Trump.
Yeah, in the early part of our marriage.
Yeah, like I was very much more like I kind of grew up like fucking off and the dirt
yeah.
bike thing and fucking
yeah, yeah, yeah.
being a little.
You were not set
like
up for success
bumpkin,
in that regard.
But I wasn't like into
yeah.
politics or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think to what, like, you can't tell me, like, this also just goes to further prove that these two were not spending any time other than when they were filming.
Yes.
Like, how did you just suddenly, like, Olivia didn't just go from, like,
no.
one season to the next being, like, I'm a
I'm
fucking bleeding heart liberal
different person.
Who
yes.
wants to, like,
exactly.
I don't know, I don't just, like, whatever, everything
yeah,
contrary
whatever.
To their growing up.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Their upbringing. And, like, how, why would you, like, just the staunch and the stubbornness and not grow with that at all
yes.
or be tuned in
yes.
or be aware,
But
I guess?
Think it's because he doesn't. He does. He's one of the people that we've talked about, like on episodes past, about like the very like cishet male perspective of like marriage and like my wife. They're
yeah.
they're it's a role, right? You're like a service
that,
to me,
that's,
but not
yes.
a person in her own right. I think we talked about this actually during the finale when Ethan and Olivia sit down with producers to like talk
the
about
last,
their relationship.
Like 10 minutes,
yeah, yeah, they like you know. Disclose pretty much that
I
they're
can't
getting
you
a
said
divorce.
That shit out loud.
Hold on.
Sorry.
But now I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Hold on. Let me think. I remember.
Okay. Tell me.
Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot, but I remembered. We talked about this after we watched the finale episode where they sit down to like disclose essentially that they're getting a divorce, where the conflict can be, I think, succinctly summarized by the fact that Olivia is sad and wounded because her partner rejects her. Ethan doesn't accept her for who she is. He doesn't see her for who she's becoming, and he doesn't value that about her. Whereas Ethan is sad about them getting a divorce because the service of like wife and cook and homemaker is no longer available to him, which is like so incredibly fucking dehumanizing. And also, I think, like kind of revealing about like how he perceives relationships and also like potentially what had been happening up to that point, like what their relationship looked like up to that point, you know?
I can't imagine too, because I know like this is not a good thing and I don't think, but also like, you know, the divorce ultimatum and stuff sometimes, like when you're so strung out and you're so on your last rope, like I don't, like I feel like men's, like me included, are like are big, dumb, thick fucking skulls. And I'm not making excuses, but like sometimes shit just doesn't cut through other than like being like, I'm going to change like the way your life is and the comfortability you have right now and the privilege you possessed.
Yeah.
It possess is going to be like,
that's gonna I'm going go to rip away.
That shit away.
Yes.
If you're not going to fucking. Yeah. Like, also, Olivia was asking for the bare fucking minimum.
Literally.
Can you imagine?
No.
Just like having your spouse just like up and be like, oh, I forgot to tell you about this trip I'm going on for a week to California with my family who you said, who all actively fucking hate you. Which is already a
point of contention as it is.
Yes.
Yeah. But also that like when he would go to Cairo, right, he would just not talk to her, right? She was like, I haven't heard from him in 16 days or something. Like, hello?
I probably should text her. Oh,
that's not funny. Like, that's so fucking mean and hateful.
Literally.
I don't understand being partner to someone and telling someone like, oh, I love you so much, I love you so much, but I apparently don't give a fuck about whether or not my actions hurt you. I feel like actually that's probably, we should probably talk about our own
I was just thinking stuff, that too.
Just because I feel like we've alluded to it a bunch and I'm sure people are really annoyed by us being
vague. They're loving it. They love us.
That's fair.
They like this. You guys like this, right?
People dislike when we're vague, which I think is valid.
Okay. Oh, do they not like that? Oh, that's totally fair. We're not going to vague book you. I think we should talk about too then like why I don't talk to my fucking mother anymore or talk to any of my family is because they, for so many years, for so many fucking years, Mickey told me, hey, I think you're... specifically my mom really fucking hates me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, babe, like that's not the case.
That's just the way she is.
We didn't have pumpkin yet. We were babes. And I was like, no, that's like, no, it's because of this and it's because of that. And it's because of, well, she didn't mean it like that. And you just don't understand.
A lot of that, a lot of like tone apologies. And like this thing
happened.
Yeah.
And then like she repeatedly ignored very clear and very easy boundaries that we asked.
Yeah.
And I was like, I genuinely was like afraid to check the mail for a period of time in my life.
Do we want to talk about that?
We can talk about that if you want.
We don't have to.
I guess it seems small potatoes now, like reflecting on it, but like it was the principle of the thing. We're very principled people.
So can I just like tell in a brief abridged version?
Abridged.
Basically what happened is that there was a conflict between one of Aaron's family members and me that tertiarily involved Aaron's mom. And
almost involved your life. So like there was
a moment where I like exploded at somebody because they endangered my life, literally.
And everyone's.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
And so the way that I handled that hurt their feelings. Fair enough, right? But so I know about myself that when I am not in a calm place, that the kindest thing that I can do for everyone in that scenario is to excuse myself, right? Like you and I have learned this.
I have learned this
many times.
Exceptionally well. I know this.
I am really, really good at having a conversation and like moving through conflict once I'm not being swallowed by rage. But if I don't have a handle on my emotions yet, it's not a good idea. It's just not an idea for us to talk about it. Yeah, exactly. So I excused myself. I just left. The like immediate vicinity.
Home. You walked from my parents' house to your house.
Oh yeah, I think I got an Uber actually. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you didn't do that in front of them though.
I just left. And so apparently that was like a grievous wound, right? And so from that point forward, things were never really the same again.
Yep.
And Christmas of that year, when you know we went up to visit all of our family, under the tree was like a bunch of presents for you and a singular bag for me. No tissue paper, no bow, no note, no nothing.
It was very loud with this.
Literally just a pair of wine glasses from the clearance section at Target with the clearance sticker still loud and proud on the front. And that was it, right? Which I was like, that's so petty and like rude, but whatever. I was like, you know what? It's not worth getting upset about. Like, it's fine. It doesn't matter. So we let that go. But this kept happening where every year for birthdays, for holidays, for anniversaries.
Also, our birthdays are near.
Yeah, so that's also hard. Yeah, my this birthday is straw, I think like 17 days before yours.
Yeah.
So for like several years this went on where my birthday would come and I would get a card in the mail that said happy birthday, period. And then the person's name, your mom's name. And then your birthday 17 days later would be a birthday card with "Happy birthday, son of mine. We love you so much and we're so proud of you." Boop, 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 boop. And then like $200 gift cards. And I would be like, okay.
I was the favorite.
That's really fucking rude. But like, I'm just whatever, kidding. Right?
Yeah, that's so fucked up. That shit's fucked up.
At one point, I was just like, this is fucking, like, it's petty and it's stupid.
I thought about throwing away your birthday card. That year that I didn't do it, I thought about throwing away that birthday card because I was like, I just know. I did the Ethan thing. I was like,
yeah, you
know, I
was like, yeah, I you just were trying know, to smooth and make
I
it go away.
I just know this is going to start a fight. And quite frankly, I don't have the spoons. And at that time, I had very little emotional
capacity
to fucking hash this out. And also, too, it's hard going against, it is hard.
It's scary.
Being adversarial with your family members and your parents. Absolutely. That are like,
and you weren't raised in a cult either. So
no,
like,
I know. So I can't. So that, and that's why we were so happy
to have like some level of, you know, deference or kindness or whatever.
Especially too, for like the plas, like watching that, I'm like, I can relate. Like I can understand what is going on. Like this is a hard
and
thing
like,
to do.
Yeah. Their childhood was like, I think to the nth degree of that,
God,
being enmeshed and like super unhealthy boundaries and your whole existence essentially being to uplift your parents. Right. Like that's all very traumatizing and it makes it really, really difficult for someone to engage with conflict. So we were like, you know, Fair enough. But like the fact that they just don't. Oh, also, we should finish the story. What ended up happening is that at one point, because you and I talked about it, and I was like, my feelings are hurt. Like this has happened now like three, four times.
It didn't have more than once.
It was like a couple of times. And so after I think like the third time that this happened, I was like, can we say something?
And I was like
even if she wants to just send a card, just one card, a joint birthday card that has one gift card in it, like for you, it's mostly for you. Like that's fine, honestly. But it's just, it's the overt nature of like, fuck you.
But because we had asked already.
Yeah, yeah. But so we asked.
And we called.
And then it happened again. We asked, we set this boundary. We communicated that like, this is hurtful. Please don't do this. Like if you do this again, we're probably gonna have to have this conversation again, was like the boundary we set. Like, this is not just gonna continue to happen unnoted. Like if you do this again, please know that we're gonna come talk to you about it again, right? Knowing that your family's very conflict averse and that's like their worst fucking nightmare.
So we called on the phone after it happened
It happened again,
December rolls around.
And we have that conversation and there was like a whole,
I remember my mom said, how do you think it makes me feel? And I said, what? I just expressed to you how I can't. I'm like afraid to open the mailbox.
Yeah.
And you just said, how do you think it makes you like?
She said, don't you think I'm hurt?
And I said, by what?
By what?
This is literally Mariah going, you're forgiven. Yes. And Ethan going,
forgiven
what?
For what? Yes.
That's my favorite part. That's the only good thing Ethan did the whole goddamn
the whole
fucking
show. Yes.
The whole fucking
show.
The
whole show. But yeah, so that happened. And I think the nail in the coffin was that at one point I was like, listen, I need you to understand that we're having this conversation with you, not just because my feelings are hurt. Because if that were the case, then like, quite honestly, it's just not worth the fight for me. And I would like, you know, leave it be. But because this is causing your son a good amount of stress, right? Like, we're a family. Aaron and I are a family. And so when you hurt me or you do something with the intent to hurt me, you're wounding Aaron because he loves me because we're a family and he cares about me. So like you might think that what you're doing is like a little pot shot, just kind of like a ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But like what you're doing actually is wounding your son. And so like, I don't think this is accomplishing the thing that you think it is, you know? And that I think was like the point in the phone call where your mom was like, ready to kill me. And that was kind of the
going
like
it again. It's so disappointing. It's so hard to,
it's really sad.
I haven't talked about it in a long time. Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah. Just like the willful denial of like you loving people who aren't them. Well,
that thing Olivia said too about like my parents chose to not have a relationship with their daughter because of principles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that cuts
I feel like we kind of did that. It's not though, because it's like you're choosing because of you to not have a relationship, you know, like,
Yeah, that like her principle of like choosing to be mad at me matters more than her having a relationship with you, which is cold-blooded. And I don't fucking relate to that at all.
Not either.
Especially as a person who like we don't have kids, right? We don't have kids on purpose because we know that we're like just not meant for that.
Yeah.
And like even then, like the idea of cutting off the you know, metaphorical child that I don't have because I am wounded by them setting a boundary with me is like on a different planet. Like I can't imagine that.
No, I
can't imagine being so uncaring about the person that you supposedly love so much.
And having no desire to...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't talked to them in years.
Yeah. At this point, it's been a hot minute.
So needless to say, like, we understand that you've cut off contact with your parents and your family for...
Yeah.
They reached out and mended it and worked really hard.
Yeah.
Really fucking hard to, like, have a relationship.
My parents have really done, like, kind of a surprising 180, honestly.
Yeah,
genuinely. And you know, been, like, available to talk about, like, you know, how not... great my childhood was sometimes, you know, but like, anyways, I guess that story is more to like, I guess, express that like, we're familiar with how difficult it is to like challenge your family of origin and stuff. Trying,
like, this is not something that like we would take lightly or that, like, that's why in the beginning too, when they're like all working out their boundaries and stuff and like figuring out how it is. Cause also too, that's the thing too, like depending on what degree it is, like also like sometimes it's just uncomfortable if you're hanging out with people that you're like,
So
that's the thing too. I think that Olivia stuck to too, that like made me feel fucking crazy.
I know.
Is all the commitment for the rest of the family to be like, well, what if we just go have a hang? What if we just go have some fun, you know? And then like, we'll just smooth it over. Just smooth, smooth.
But like, imagine,
and no one gets, nothing gets better.
But imagine if like your mom reached out at this point and was like, you know, like, we're fine to talk to Mickey, but only if she can like keep it light, you know, and we can just hang out. And
like, we got a lot of shit to talk about.
But that's what I'm saying. Imagine if your response was like, don't you think you're being kind of unreasonable, Mickey, for not wanting to do that? Hello?
Like
that's cuckoo bananas cuckoo behavior. Bananas.
I think speaking of cuckoo banana behavior, the way Micah and Mariah inserted themselves into things that had nothing to fucking do with them. Mm-hmm. And also too, in the defense of Kim, genuinely, no wonder those worst. Kids fucking homeschooling was fucking trash.
Because
I've like, never seen someone like, I can't imagine raising children.
Yes.
And then like having your three youngest and just be like, sorry, it's time for my fuck fun off time now.
Whoa, I want to go wear mini skirts and fucking
fuck off time.
And hang out at my dance studio. Get fucked, little girls.
You don't get no dance studio anymore.
That's
you
so fucking rude. Yeah.
I just, the way, and also the way she pits the kids.
Yes. Against each other.
Oh my God.
That's the thing. There was a moment on the show where Micah and Mariah sit down with Kim and Barry to talk about the whole social media post that happened because Micah, Mariah.
I just hate the way they say social media post.
I know. Micah, Mariah, Lydia, and Isaac all posted the same thing to Instagram is what it was. Basically saying that like Olivia's a liar.
Our mom is perfect.
And so Ethan like corroborated the story that like, yes, the way that Olivia like, you know, communicated that is the way that it happened.
Yeah.
And the four younger siblings put this post up on Instagram calling Olivia a liar and all this stuff. But Kim and Barry sit down with Micah and Mariah and Kim says, oh, thank you guys for posting that because seeing that someone was standing up for me made me feel really good. That was really nice. Hello?
Also the born again Christian shit covered in tattoos. Also, poor, I don't know, like I say poor Lydia, but then also like she's just there bawling her eyes while... Mariah's getting Lydia, fucking baptized again in her fucking Doc Martens.
Lydia like, has the most intense anxiety, I feel.
Oh, she
because
is.
Because that poor woman, her body must just be riddled with anxiety. God. She looks like she's constantly stressed out of her fucking mind, man.
Playing mom at fucking 17, 18, 19 years old, like to three kids.
Literally. But yeah, I really don't respect the fact that Kim, like out loud, said to her kids, the way that you shit on your older brother made me so happy.
I love that. Thank you.
But like, wants a mom of the year award?
Literally.
Hello?
Also,
that's so cold-blooded and rude.
Also, the leopards ate my face thing too. I've never, and also we talked about this too, I've never seen a couple get divorced. We were like cheering on the guy, the dude.
Yes!
And like, I was like, honestly, you know, Barry like obviously doesn't believe in mental health or
Barry
anything.
Sucks
the way they talk about depression, just fucking like you just don't let it get you.
Don't let it
don't
take
let
hold
it catch
of you.
Up. Just go lift
it's
more
just
weights.
That simple. If you're depressed, have you just thought about not?
Did you just go to the gym? Did you try up in your
life-changing advice, Barry? Thanks. Shut up.
But the way Kim just being like, and also too like. Of course, and I do stick by what we said last time, though, about, like, being a mom for that long and raising that many kids. And, like, Barry clearly was checked the fuck out.
Yes.
But also, too, the, like, this, you know, Kim, I want to get it. Also, we went so fast from, like, hey, we're thinking about separating to we're getting a divorce.
Like, now.
I'm out of here. We're not living together.
I can only assume that was editing. It has to be in order for my little brain to make sense of it.
Because those poor kids in Whiplash.
I can't imagine what they put those kids through in such a short amount of time should be criminal.
But then to like her bemoaning and being like, well, the kids and this and that and the family and they're doing things and they're having fun without me. And it's like, dude, yeah. what did you think was going to like?
You are the one who like blew up your family unit. And yeah. like, granted, again, I can empathize with the fact that she had her life stolen by fundamentalism.
Literally stolen.
And
absolutely.
I think that that's a very valid thing to be upset about.
Of course.
But dealing with it by spiting your kids is like not okay. But then also to be mad at your kids for clinging to the person who's doing most of their primary caregiving. Like, again, I have plenty of beef with Barry.
Oh, so much so.
But I mean, he was mostly the one who was interfacing with the kid, and Lydia, let's be honest, is mostly Lydia. But like, you know, of course your kids are wanting to spend more time with Barry because they don't see you because you're doing whatever the fuck it yeah. is that you're doing with your boyfriend, shoving sushi down each other's throats,
yeah,
you know, and like being weird and obscene in public.
Barry wasn't like, yeah, well, we're getting a divorce, so I'm also too going to fuck off and do whatever I want now.
Yes, and yeah, and then she has the gall to be mad at her kids. Like,
make it make sense.
But also, again, I think it's just very revealing about the fact that Kim conceptualizes parenthood as like the thing that she should be celebrated for. It reminds me a lot, honestly, of my family of origin. I think we've talked about this before. I don't know if we've talked about this on the pod, that like I realized that a fair amount of the draw that I had towards motherhood and like wanting to have babies was because the people in my family were celebrated
yeah.
when they became mothers. It was like a milestone, but also a time that the family would like center their attention on yeah. you. It was a way to get attention, essentially. And I envied that because I was like the sort of invisible,
yes, you know,
like we don't have to worry about her kind of child sometimes.
You're not celebrated until you're a mother.
Yes, exactly. And so like that realization for me was like, oh, ew, I don't want yeah. to do that at all, because that's like dehumanizing our, you know, metaphorical non-existent children.
Yeah.
But like Kim, I think is one of those people
yeah.
who like views motherhood as a thing that she deserves to be celebrated for, and like very like a martyr complex kind yeah. of a thing. But like she views motherhood through this lens, I think, of like the way that it serves her and yeah. not about how she's supposed to be like pouring life into these tiny human beings that you created, you know, yeah. which is so fucking gross. It's a weird fucking yeah. perspective to have.
Also too, and now that I'm thinking about it again too, like going back to that, and the thing that's coming to mind is the men wanting to put women in like great women in cages.
Yeah, the exotic bird thing.
Yes, the exotic yep. bird thing. Like,
yep.
I cannot that's believe Ethan and Olivia on literal for sure. TV, Ethan was like, you know, it would just be really nice. Like, what if you went and go lived with your fucking family? Honestly, do you want to just play the clip?
Yes. Let me play the clip. Let me find it really quick. Hold, please.
I feel like you're searching for something that you haven't found that maybe is trying to take the place of that. And I don't know if there is a replacement.
The faith and the world that I grew up in was a world built for men, that worked for men. To tell me that I need to go back to a culture and a faith and a belief that told me that I was worth nothing without a husband, that in a relationship I just needed to submit and say yes and cook 3 meals a day, praise God, and it would all be fine. I don't think you understand the privilege you have to look at me and tell me I need to go back to that because it served you.
Ew.
I literally cannot.
Ew.
Also, too, this like, there's so many things. You go first. I'm going to find something real quick.
Okay. First and foremost, I just think it's worth noting that the stuff that we talked about earlier about how Ethan is so uncaring towards his partner, you can see, right? Like, you don't have to be a fucking empath to watch the hurt dawn on her face as he's saying these things about her family. And like, if you could just go back to those values and whatever, you can watch the devastation like wash over her of like, I cannot believe that this man is saying this to me right now.
I'm gonna use this as a hyperbole, mm-hmm. but basically that'd be me being like, I don't fucking love you the way you are.
Yes.
And I need you to change back to the way we were when we were 18.
Yes.
Because I like that Mickey way the fuck more.
Yes.
Like, that's such a mean fucking thing to say. Can you?
Hateful.
I literally cannot imagine. I found this post, or I saw this comment. Actually just about masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I think this is from Danny Trejo, so I'm going to read it, and okay. we can cut this out if you don't like it or whatever.
Sure.
But I think this just goes because, too, this culture props up masculinity and yeah. maleness.
Yeah.
And, like, being a headship and Ugh. Being the fucking caretaker of the family. Yeah, and yeah. these men do fuck all. They don't
Literally.
Do fucking any of it.
Yes.
And this is a thing.
That's the thing that's so infuriating
and
about it.
I think this is something too, like, but. this has resonated with me, but like this, mm-hmm. like, how could you sit here and someone you so desperately love,
yes.
and you consider telling, I love you, I yeah. love you, I love you, I just don't love this.
Yeah.
And like,
I just don't love these core parts of your personality.
You
Hello?
Want fucking something, you do want someone to service you
yes.
and like, be a fucking help me.
Yes.
And it's fucking gross and disgusting. And also so it's so dehumanizing.
Yes.
Like, I cannot imagine treating another person, period, but the person you're married to that you've also grown up being told, like, so this is what the, comment says or whatever. So I found this. Masculine means you go to work, you support your family, you help out your neighbors. That's masculine. That's machismo. We got it screwed up. We're thinking we're supposed to be warriors. No, we're not. We're supposed to be caretakers. That's what masculinity means to me now.
Yes.
Like, why are these men, also this alpha dating advice, like,
oh, just my fucking God.
Take care, like, not in a masculine way, but just like, take care of people because you want to be a good person.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand.
That's like a fundamental part of human relationships.
Like, fuck the gender from all of it.
Care for one another.
Like,
take
literally
care
just take
of
care.
One another.
You should be lifting each other up. Also, too, I cannot believe this whole conversation. Like, you're not happy with our life right now after I've broken my back left, right, up
literally,
and down.
Yeah.
For fucking, because you didn't get a couple meals and cooking.
Yes.
But then also, she asked him in one of the episodes, she's like, when was the last time you cooked?
Yes.
And I think we go back to this thing, too. Like,
never.
You very much held the weight of, like, cooking and stuff in our household when we first grew up.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't cook growing
because,
up.
Because, none of the adults in your life taught you how to fucking cook.
Yeah, like, I can microwave shit and stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Too, but, like, now, who cooks most of the meals in our house?
You do.
Who's the better cook?
And you're really good at
Who's the better cook?
Me, still.
But, like, I
hold your own punk. You're pretty good.
That shit that just, like, so, I cannot imagine being in a relationship with someone who's so open. I can't imagine it because it's and then being like, can you imagine if I had been like, hey, I really hate all this stuff you're learning in college. I need you to drop out of college.
I know.
After moving down here for me to live together as a young married couple.
Yeah.
And
upturning,
like,
your life
upturning
for
your
me.
Whole life when you were very happy, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And I just, like, there is not an ounce of respect or, and Olivia talks about that too, but just, or empathy.
Yes.
Like,
that's the thing that's astounding to me is his inability or lack of desire to put himself even within 100 yards of her shoes
and
is so off-putting.
One of the sweetest moments in that last fucking episode, or maybe it's two episodes, is Ethan, them doing their road trip, bringing the cars up there and being like, hey, I haven't told Micah yet that Micah's not allowed at the house. I also haven't told Olivia. I'm just going to bring Micah by. And then my favorite fucking part after he tries to spring this on her and then going to California, then Micah's little fucking snake ass is like, oh, by the way, Mariah's coming to this family, this boys trip.
Yes.
And Ethan's like, well, you know, I wasn't really expecting that or planning like that. How do you think your fucking wife has felt for the last 4 fucking years?
Literally, for the duration of your marriage. That's the thing that really gets me too. But like all of the Plath siblings do this at some, at least the adult ones anyways. Mariah does this too, where
she
repeatedly demonized Olivia for not wanting to have a relationship with Kim after all of her own issues, right? On top of the issues that Ethan had with Kim and his family and all of this stuff, right? For her own very valid personal reasons, Olivia did not want to have a relationship with Kim. And Mariah over and over and over again was like, just get over it. Just talk to her.
Like,
just
let
it go.
It's not that big of a deal.
If you're holding a grudge, then that's actually bad for you and you're hurting yourself by holding a grudge and all of this stuff. But then when she's mad at Ethan and blocks his phone number and decides to try to be a pious, sanctimonious little piece of shit and is like, I forgive you. And Ethan's like, for what? And then immediately
blocks him again.
Immediately fucking nopes out of the situation.
Don't ever fucking talk to me again.
Literally fuck off. The hypocrisy is astounding and infuriating.
Also, I know we talked about, Mariah figuring out her look and her aesthetic and stuff or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, that's fine. You know, whatever. But like also her being like the tattooed look and doing this and like literally every episode having a new tattoo.
More tattoos.
Is giving JoJo Siwa. And also as someone who cares so much about image, do not up badge your fucking vehicles. I'm sure they didn't know, but I'm sorry as I used to be a Mustang fuckboy. You don't put the C stripe is very, it's Boss 302s.
Yeah.
They're a completely different engine.
It's like a
also
thing.
I don't even think in that year, because I'm pretty sure she's driving a 2010.
Yeah.
They didn't start having the 302s, I think, until 11.
Yeah.
11 and 14. And
so
it's because
like
they come like they're different. The engine, all the components, the internals are all different, and then they have a fucking H-pipe with the side exhaust, which is a big thing because I know because I bought one for my car because they're so fucking cool. I don't have those vehicles anymore.
No.
But like, it's just embarrassing because I was like, damn. I was like, they're out here making good money from this show if we got a 302 in fucking 2000,
it
whatever it was.
Fake.
And as soon as I saw him open that engine and it was V6 in that one, I was like, oh my God. Like, fuck me, man.
She might not have known, to be fair. But still, it is just like such a preoccupation with appearances and the way that she's being perceived, except that like she doesn't really seem to care to like align her personality traits with this like holier than thou, I'm better than you image that she tries to project, which is really off-putting.
Also her wishy-washy. Go ahead. You go. No, you
go. I was going to change the subject.
I was going to talk real quick, though, about how her having a talking head being like, I couldn't stand Ethan growing up. He bullied me. He was the worst. I hated him. I hated him. I hated him. And then spends the whole time bemoaning. Like, I wish I had a relationship with Ethan.
Yeah.
He's the only one I could talk to.
Yes.
And then when we're not on the same page with Olivia and him, I can't stand Ethan.
He's always been terrible. Like, he's always been a bully.
Fuck, man.
Pick a side.
No spine in between that whole family.
But also, can we talk about fucking Micah for doing exactly the same thing, but worse, because he has apparently like a lot of beef with Olivia, except that they've literally never had a disagreement
ever.
Olivia, as far as we're aware on the show anyways, which we're aware that it's very edited and whatever, but like as far as we've been presented from the TV show, Olivia has never done anything to personally wound or hurt Micah.
She's very sweet to
him. His primary grievance with Olivia is that she doesn't have a relationship with his mom, which we were totally fine with when Micah and Mariah didn't want to be around their parents. As soon as they decided when your parents are getting divorced that you want their approval again, which like, whatever, I'm not here to like,
fine,
people deal with things in the way that they're going to deal with things. But as soon as they wanted Kim's approval again, they were happy to throw her under the bus and tell her like, you need to have a relationship with her. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. But then when Olivia is like, hey, we probably have some stuff that we need to air out, let's have a conversation, just you and me, let's sit down and work it out, that he goes, no, what happened to just get over it?
Also,
what happened to just talk about it? What happened to just have a conversation and be civil about that,
and then gets a text message?
It's so fucking infuriating.
Is this stage or the producers doing to this? I'm like, there's no way. There's no way life is working out this way. And that, like, as he's talking about, like, you know, I just trying to get the family back. Like, Micah made it his whole soul,
his
single responsibility.
Whole personality.
He's like, I'm going to get mom and dad back together. Don't you worry.
Yeah. I'll repair our family single-handedly.
Yes.
And then Olivia is like, okay, great. Let's you and me repair some stuff. This will be a step toward resolution, right? And Micah says, no, I don't want to.
Also, can you imagine after being on a road trip for fucking 3 days or whatever, how long it's been? I mean, like, I don't really give a fuck to come see my wife. I'm going to go to the bar with my brother and just fuck off.
I would fucking hit the roof. Like, I would absolutely fucking blow into orbit.
I would like to think most normal people would never choose to do that.
No. Which also, we should probably talk about the almost divorce thing too, because we teased it at the beginning and haven't talked about that. What?
Just casually drop it now. Yeah, let's drop it.
I mean, well, you talked about it earlier.
Oh, so, I mean, yeah, I was just not, you know, I wasn't holding my end up of the relationship. And so basically when we became polyamorous, it became very clear that were lots of areas that both of us had not been.
We'd just been like leaving conflict unaddressed
We were really smoothing, because before we became polyamorous, we probably hadn't had a real good fight in probably 6 months.
If not longer than that. We never fought.
We were coasting. We were chill. We were cool. But also we were coasting.
Yeah.
We were literally coasting.
There was definitely things that had gone unaddressed. Yeah.
We had become very stagnant and very complacent.
Complacent, I think.
Both kind of work. And like kind of selling off little bits of ourselves to kind of make the relationship
to like keep
work.
The peace.
You were selling off way more bits of yourself than I was. I think I can admit that confidently. And so like to be so clear for like we were probably one bad week away from getting a divorce.
Yeah, things got pretty rough there for a minute.
Without a doubt.
The thing though that I think is important to like preface this situation with is that you and I were having conversations about like dividing our life and getting a divorce and like going our separate ways, not because we didn't love each other not because we couldn't like foresee a future with one another, but because it was a question of like capability, right?
Is
it possible for you to do the work that I'm like looking for in a partner in order for us to be in a healthy place, right? And at the time, the answer that you were able to give me, because you genuinely didn't know, was like, I don't know, right? And so for me, I was like, I don't know if I feel good about that, you know? And so like we went to therapy and like worked on our fucking shit.
We would go to couples therapy on Monday and then I would go to couples therapy on Tuesday,
individual
therapy on Tuesday, and you were going to therapy on Thursdays.
Individual therapy on Thursdays.
And like, but also too, like I told you how much I loved you and how much you meant to me. And
all
like,
the time.
But also too, for Ethan to sit here and say, I love you, I love you, I love you so much. And then, but not, and you know, like I'm going to say a gender term because that's how they hear, to not have the balls to go through and like commit, like Olivia said, like, I don't know, dude, go see a therapist.
Uh-huh.
And then he says,
talk to a therapist.
Actually, we'll just play the clip.
Yeah, I'll play you the clip. Hold on.
Why does this have to be this way?
I feel like I've said everything I can say. Maybe get a therapist or something and talk to someone else.
Damn therapist.
damn therapist.
Let me narrate for anyone that's watching this. Your partner is saying, I still love you and I want to be with you.
Yeah.
But I need you to work on your shit so that we can still be in a relationship.
Yeah.
I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to love you. I want to be here with you. I want to be your partner. And then to go.
I just need you to work on yourself.
And what it is basically saying, fuck you. I don't care enough to be uncomfortable. I don't care enough to put the work in to mend our relationship and to actually fix things and to talk about the things that are hard to talk about. Is it true that they had a party? You were telling me you heard that.
That's a rumor that I read on the Plathville subreddit. I don't know if that's true or not.
If we can substantiate this, allegedly.
That's very much hearsay and internet rumor, to be fair.
That's the thing. I just don't respect the giving up. Like, if you're just not happy and stuff, get a divorce.
No, divorce is morally neutral. Just get one. Yeah, that's fine.
You're not forced to be with anybody. And also, it's stupid. No. It's only culturally and socially got a divorce.
Because of religion.
It shouldn't fucking mean anything.
No, it really shouldn't.
And also,
again, sometimes it's the most loving thing you can do for yourself and someone
else.
Genuinely.
Let them fly. Let them be free.
Yes, yeah.
And, I just can't respect. I have no modicum of respect for someone who can sit here and squeal and preach come on, just be like your old self.
Yes.
Can't you just be less of a person for me so I can
Can't you just abandon yourself enough that I can dehumanize you effectively again?
And then be like,
hello? Literally, what the fuck?
They could still be married so easily.
Yes, if he put in even an ounce of work. That's the thing that's so disheartening about this and why we decided to talk to you about our own relationship stuff and our own I don't know, considering getting a divorce and all of that is because we made it to a place where the conversation was really genuinely, can you fucking do the work to get to a place where we can have a conversation with each other and you can identify what your own emotions are and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And for us to be able to work through conflict, because I want that, because I love you, because I care about you, because I really value our life together.
I could literally stand being.
Literally, it's going to make me cry. I can't imagine my life without you.
We used to joke about that all the time. Even if we got a divorce, we would still probably be fucking.
Truly just on some best friendship.
I would still edit videos. I said I would still edit videos for the channel because I love. Also, too, I was very much we started this because I was hey, don't you think it'd be so cool if you shared all this cool stuff you're learning?
It was your idea. Yeah, you pressured me into it. So this is all your fault.
But this is all my fault. Thank God we don't have any kids.
I know.
So glad they didn't have fucking kids.
Oh, God, I know.
But also, too, it fills me with so much joy seeing Olivia out here crushing it.
I know. And being her authentic self, ostensibly, anyways.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out there's awful shit Olivia has done, too.
I know, probably.
Again.
But still, I stand by what I said.
As being true to form. Heart-filled hating asses. We're fine to switch our opinions.
Yeah.
I'm ready at the drop of a hat.
Sure.
If someone if you're
yes.
That's
normalize
changing
your mind.
That's more of a red flag from me.
That's fair.
Because I will cut someone out quick.
That is a very Sagittarius thing of you. But no, I really don't respect the fact that Olivia was so very much pleading with Ethan to please
for seasons,
just
for years.
Make any effort. For example, don't ghost me when you go home.
Can you text me a couple times?
Yes.
Instead of
And also, she wasn't asking him to change his beliefs. She wasn't asking him to change his politics.
At all.
She literally was only asking for him to do the work on himself so that he could see her
and accept her
for who she was.
She just
wanted
to be
accepted. That's all she wanted. She didn't want him to change. She continually voiced to him, I don't need you to become a different version of yourself.
Yes.
I love and respect you, and so I can appreciate your values, which, couldn't be me. But, fair enough. I respect that. And he couldn't do that. He literally refused. He literally dug his little heels into the ground and refused to make an effort to see her for who she is, which is so fucking gross. As people who have been on the precipice of a divorce, I don't respect that at all, because you and I have had so many conversations where we would have conversations on a regular basis about how I can't imagine my life without you, and I don't want to do this without you, and I just want our relationship to feel healthier and feel safer, you know? And there was never, I can't stop crying. Hold on. There was never a point though where I felt you didn't pick up what I was putting down for
I was
you.
Trying. I felt it was I was speaking another language. I wanted to so badly, and I could just I remember there were so many moments I'm I'm trying so hard and I keep missing this mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I was I don't know how many more I just remember telling you I am so sorry. I am trying. I promise it's not for lack of caring. And I was I promise I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right.
Yes.
Please,
you
just
did.
Give me some more time. Give me some more time. And I I kept the florist in business that year. And I mean, actually no, because now I make my own bouquets.
That's true. Yeah, you do.
I just not that flowers will fix your marriage.
No, it was just sort of a thing. Yeah.
But I don't get it.
I really don't understand. And also because like, hold on, I lost my train of thought. Oh my gosh, I remember. The other thing to note here also is that in these conversations where we were talking about potentially getting a divorce, it was never because I was like holding our marriage hostage, to be clear. Mm-hmm. It was because you and I repeatedly had conversations about how like, if I'm asking you to stretch beyond what is like a reasonable capability for you, then like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Ugh, what is wrong with
me?
I'm
sorry. No, you very much gave me the like space to, like you gave me, we had plenty of outs and like we said we would amicably yeah. figure it out together. Like, yeah. What that would look like us separated.
Yeah. But just because like, Olivia talks about this a lot in like the final season of like, you know, if, or actually I think it was like season 2 or 3 she tells him like, if I'm asking you to be someone that you're not, you're just not, then like the kindest thing that we can do is to go our separate ways. Yeah. That like some people are just not meant to be that way. And if that means that we're just not compatible, then like, that's fine. And like, I love you and want you to like be free. And like, you know, the conversation for us was like, I want you to be with someone who can appreciate you for who you are and not like
stifle you.
Like, well, and not like to feel like I was repeatedly just like shitting on you.
Yeah.
Ugh.
For the sake of, or like,
yeah.
To like make me into something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want you to feel like your approval was like conditional upon like behaving the way that I wanted you to behave. If that was just like not something that you like wanted to do or were capable of doing, you know?
I just don't think it makes sense. Ugh. I think the thing too, like people's commitment to not wanting people to change is
so gross.
Also like as little ADHD, you know, riddled people, like it's kind of boring. Like I think it's so exciting and interesting and fun to get to like change with your partner.
Yes.
And like, cause you both,
it's cool as fuck. Also
too, like that's not fair. Like one person's allowed to change, but the other's not.
Literally.
Or, like, why would you not want to watch your partner? And like, you get to experience life next to this person who you get to grow with and watch like
cool change. As fuck.
Like I've gotten to watch you from like a high schooler.
I know.
Like I'm so lucky and thankful and grateful that we've gotten to like see each other like
we have moments. I've gotten to watch you become who you are, which is so cool.
Like, oh, think how we were like 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or like fuck, almost like 15 years ago.
I know.
Now.
Yeah.
No, literally.
Oh
15 God. Years ago.
Oh, we're so old.
I know. We've been almost we've been together almost half our life. 15
years, yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy. but yeah, I just don't it's such a small minded mindset.
Yeah.
And it's just so incredibly Christian.
It's so Christian. And it's also very like reductive.
It's
like
so
this
unserious.
Idea that like especially women are just supposed to be what you want them to be and not like who they are, you know?
Fuck off.
I don't fucking understand how in any universe it's a reasonable expectation that Ethan would just expect that 20-year-old Olivia would be the same person that she was like, you know, 4 years or the same person also, 4 years later. That's not how being a person works.
If we talk about like, so we love this rule that like once you turn 18, you start your adult life. So you're 1, you're 2, you're 3. When you're 21, you're 3 years old.
Yes.
You're learning to drink on your own, literally.
Yeah. So we're only 10.
Yeah.
You know, or no, 12. Well,
like, so I'll even give them more, like they're like in the negatives. Like they were like, like especially like growing up in a fundamentalist like cult basically.
Sure. Yeah.
But like, I can't imagine like also like Ethan's no desire to like grow past
his
little farm.
Yes, that's the thing.
And like if that's what you want, like it's fine, but
I just can't imagine like having walked through the like really painful things that we walked through with our own like relationship issues, but being committed to like dehumanizing your partner and like devaluing them, you know?
I respect you so much more because of all that shit.
Yes,
like,
me
so
too.
Much more.
Because like I think it also requires you to like really be honest about like your wants and needs and like where you envision your life going, you know? And that's like such a courageous thing for someone to be able to do. And like I respect you so much more for being able to be like vocal and clear and honest with yourself and with me about like what you wanted and what you needed and like, you know, what felt like love to you. Like that's a hard thing to do.
And again too, I just want to clear up too that like it did happen simultaneously while we were unlearning monogamy and becoming polyamorous, but also too, that's because it forced us to look at ourselves and ask us like, what do we genuinely want out of a relationship? And like those were conversations we would have not had otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and it wasn't because like polyamory ruins relationships.
At all.
It was because you and I had like several realizations along the way that like, oh, actually, these things that I've never had the courage to ask for or I've never had the courage to put my foot down about do actually really matter to me. And seeing you be willing to do that for other people is very painful. And so I need to be honest with myself and with you about, like, you know, our wants and needs and whatever. And I feel like we both had kind of that realization separately.
And what a great way. Olivia told a story about how when they were first dating, Ethan drove 17 hours to go apologize to her and talk to her for an hour.
Yeah.
And then drove back another 17 hours. Mm-hmm. And she said, as soon as we got married, you stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And like, that's the real shit of it. Like,
yeah. And like, I think tell me that fundamentalist culture doesn't dehumanize women.
And Barry talks about it too, where he was like, you know, like there was just like not a lot of stuff.
Yep.
We like, once we got married and we started having kids and stuff, yep. and you just kind of put stuff to the wayside.
Yeah. You just stopped seeing Kim as a person.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I really wish I could have went back and like been, you know, not been resting on my laurels so much and that sort of a thing. Like, being in a relationship is work.
Sure.
But it should be work you want to do, you know, like for your partner.
Yes. And it shouldn't be also like that level of hard for like the duration of your relationship
of
also.
Of course, it'll be like ebbs and flows.
No, yeah, obviously. But, like, and I think like life events and stuff influence that too. But I just don't understand like this very fundamentalist perspective that like you should inherently have a distaste for your partner. Like, what? That's actually wild to me.
And I'm glad
I don't get that at all.
I was not expecting that episode to end in them separating.
I knew that they ended up getting
You knew that already?
A divorce. Yeah, because I saw like on Instagram or something. It was like a big thing because Ethan posted an announcement about it.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
And so when that got posted, it was like a big deal. And I was like, who the fuck are these people? Yeah. Like, why is this all over my feed? I don't fucking care.
Needless to say, I'm glad we watched it.
Oh,
I'm glad
me too.
We caught up. I cannot wait.
I know.
For the next season.
I'm hoping that it's just Olivia living her best life and the Plath family having to reckon with their poor choices.
God, I hope so too. They're all perfect for each other. They're just the most unserious bunch of people I've ever had the misfortune of having to watch on TV. It was great TV though.
Yeah.
Discovery really outdid themselves on the pacing of the show is good.
Yeah.
The drama is good. I think without Olivia and Ethan, it would be a very boring watch. I don't think they would have as many seasons of it as they would.
No.
So the Plaths can also thank Olivia for that.
Yes, because they all scapegoat her and treat her like shit.
Because also, too, there would just be all unlikable characters.
Yes. Well, and that's the other thing, too, that I think is like, I don't know, I guess just like a nice takeaway from the show and in its entirety is that even in these dysfunctional family systems, when they find a scapegoat like Olivia, right? Or like if you are the scapegoat in your family that everybody uses to try to band themselves together, like just remember that ultimately when you have like moved away from this toxic family system and like removed yourself from this situation, they will only have each other to sit and stare and look and eventually eat each other. Yeah. You know,
it's so
true. They function and they manage to band themselves together, these dysfunctional family systems, by identifying somebody as like the problem so that we all have a common enemy. But once that common enemy disappears, you have nothing left in common besides your hatred and vitriol, and like sit with that. Go ahead. Like, that's a punishment that's much worse, I think, because at least being like, you know, you and I both like being the scapegoats in our family, like we have been able to remove ourselves from like the toxicity and the shame and the judgment and all of that, and like find ourselves and be happy
and
in
our own
who we are, you know,
and not beholden to anybody or anyone's opinions.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have a sense of belonging with you because we hate someone else. I have a sense of belonging with you because I think we belong together.
I know we belong together genuinely.
And so I think it's just like important to remember that, like, even though it feels bad, like being the scapegoat in a family system like that, like it, you know, it's not something that like anybody needs to be thankful for or whatever, but I do think it's, I don't know, like a nice reminder that like the people who treated you like shit are going to deal with their own reckoning because they're living in a misery of their own creation, you know, because they're not brave enough to deal with the fact that like their family system is banded together
built
by
on
lies and hatred.
Tower of Jenga.
No, literally. Yes.
Yeah, that was a reference to the show because they love playing Jenga and board games.
Oh, yeah, they do. Actually, I forgot about that. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that we want to talk about before we wrap up?
I think the only thing I would like to leave you guys with is stay skeptical. Don't trust TikTok influencers who refuse to speak out about Palestine and continue holding people to task who don't. Please donate. This is the last pod this month.
Yes.
Is this the last pod this month?
It might be.
Did we reach the goal yet for the
fundraiser? We're close, but I don't think so. Do you want me to check it?
No, it's not that big of a deal. I think it is that big of a deal, but like, well, like I'm assuming we have a couple more live streams. We'll meet
the goal. Yeah, we have at least two more live streams. So. Well,
yeah, come hang out with us.
Which, by the way, come hang out with us on Friday.
Yes, please.
When you're watching this, tomorrow will be our first episode of the new season of Couples Therapy.
Oh, is it tomorrow? Will it be?
Yeah.
Nice. So, let's go.
I'm very excited to watch something that's more of a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
That's less like drama hungry.
What is the therapist?
Orna.
Oh, she's so good.
Dr. Orna. Orla. Oh. I think Orla. I can't remember her name.
She is.
I am such a fangirl.
Rightfully, as you should.
I appreciate her clinical skill set very much. So I'm excited to have some like really good conversations. Because I think it's probably as close as somebody could get to being able to view what real couples therapy looks like.
Oh, you know? Man, it's so good.
So
I'm glad we had this episode. I hope that cleared the air for everyone.
Yeah.
If you have any, if you guys want to be like, let's open the chat. This will be a hate and ass acceptance zone.
Be kindful, in your validated hater era with us.
But if you got the, if you got the goods on the plaths, you know,
let us know.
I'm ready to soak up. I'm a sponge.
Yeah. So, thanks for hanging out with us. If you want to support the pod, you can like the video and subscribe. You can leave us reviews.
Yes. Also, I'm going for the tatted look.
It's working.
Space squid.
Your squid is so cool. Space I can't wait for you to get color on all the rest of the arms.
I am a peely boy right now,
though. Because they look sick. All right. That's it. We love you all the most, and we'll see you next Friday for another episode. Bye.